And this is the time of the show where we tell you what's trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
In Trumplandia, yes. So there are many tentacles to this phony Russia collusion. Well, it's not even a theory. It's a Democrat hoax that was tried to put upon the nation. They almost got their way. But basically, it was based upon this absurd, if you remember, this preposterous absurd notion of the P dossier, right? This dossier, which was funded by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, it started the surveillance on Carter Page, and then the investigation metastasized from there. Yeah, like Donald Trump went to Moscow, got a bunch of lady friends, and they decided to urinate on a bed that that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama slept on, reportedly, right? I know. The whole thing, I mean, just ridiculous. I can't believe a FISA judge signed off on that. Come on. If I were the FISA judge, I would have laughed and said, you got to be, get out of here. Anywho, William Barr said today, a lot of news came from his hearing on Capitol Hill. He said he's reviewing the conduct of the FBI's counterintelligence into the Trump campaign. And he says he's trying to get to the bottom of what conducted during the summer of 2016. He said, hopefully we'll have some answers when the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, wraps up his investigation on the FISA warrants. And this does not portend good things, good omens for Democrats moving forward, because Bill Barr also said that he said if there's a predicate for an investigation, it will be conducted. That was in response to Devin Nunes. He says he is referring at least three individuals, maybe more, because he's referred some individuals in the past. No, five. He's five referrals going to the Department of Justice, and they are specific regarding crimes, lying to Congress, misleading Congress, and leaking classified information. And now we seem to have a Department of Justice head honcho who wants to do something and make sure he brings integrity back to the agency he once was the head of more than two decades ago. So we'll see how that goes. But if I were a Democrat, I would not. This is not a time to sit on your laurels, because we know there was a lot of mischief, a lot of funny business going on, to be the most generous and gracious way to explain it. And Bill Barr, if he looks to get to the bottom of it, certainly leading up to the 2010 election, 2020 election, it may be a wipeout for Dems. All right, what is next?
What's trending? You can't make this up.
No, you can't make this up. This was my reaction. Burger King. Where is this from? Washington? Exactly. I think this is the AP. Burger King apologizes for insensitive ad showing chopsticks used for Vietnamese chicken sandwiches. Burger King apologizes on Tuesday for an insensitive ad that its New Zealand branch put out, which showed people using oversized chopsticks to eat the fast food chain's new Vietnamese chicken sandwich. The ad in question is insensitive and does not reflect our brand values regarding, here's the buzzwords now, diversity and inclusion, a Burger King spokesman told CNN. Now, Tom, I know you've been reviewing burgers in the Seattle area, correct? All right. Have you gone to Burger King?
No, but no. If they really are the king of burgers, I probably should.
It's probably the most inexpensive burger you'll get, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Don't go to Burger King. I can't even remember the last time. It's been years. It's been years since I've been to Burger King. Anyway, off topic. I thought it was strange that this is a chicken sandwich, so I don't know why you would use chopsticks for a chicken sandwich, right? But is it really insensitive and offensive? Like, are there Vietnamese people out there? Are there Asian people out there who would find, chopsticks is associated with their culture. What, am I missing something here?
I wonder if there's like one person offended, but they took
Twitter
about it.
Well, there was one person offended. There was just one person. Some loon bag said, this couldn't She couldn't believe such blatant, ignorant ads are still happening. 2019, some activist, Maria Moe. I'm sorry, every time I... Now, listen, granted, this is a sandwich, so I don't know why you would... I mean, it just seems like a silly ad. It doesn't... Is it irrational? But how, is it really insensitive? Does it lack the values of diversity? Every time I go to a Vietnamese restaurant or any Asian restaurant, especially if you're Vietnamese, Japanese, I'm offered chopsticks. Is that insensitive of them to give me chopsticks? Because I'm losing perspective on the rules of the game here. I just want to make sure that I know the rules of the game ahead of time.
That's messed up. That's just wrong.
Would they offer me chopsticks?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Are they offensive and insensitive to their own culture?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There you heard it. From Tom himself. By the way, I just decided to Google because I love pho. I love this. My favorite Vietnamese food here. And there's like a pho. In the Seattle area, there's a pho almost on every block, it seems. There are a lot of pho places. And my wife, it's our go-to spot. We love it. There are videos and tutorials online to teach you how to eat pho like a boss. How to eat pho like you're from Vietnam. And guess what it involves? You're not going to believe this. You are not going to believe this, Tom. It involves chopsticks.
Wow.
I know. It's very racist of them.
I have my hand very close to the bleep button for this segment.
Getting out of control. Oh my gosh, Jason Ranch is going to come back and he's going to reprimand us. Chopsticks, Burger King, sandwiches. Pho! Wild and crazy up in here. All right, what is next?
What's trending? Big picture.
Big picture. Big picture. I guess we just had to come up with some big picture.
Well, it kind of is.
The big picture, robots are going to take over the world. That's the big picture here. All right. These are not unintended consequences. These are just the laws of economics here. And as you make labor more expensive, businesses are going to either hire fewer people or they are going to find other ways to get the work done. And this would fit into the category, the silo of other ways. Walmart is expanding, this is from the Wall Street Journal, is expanding its use of robots in stores to help monitor inventory, clean floors, and unload trucks. Part of the retail giant's efforts to control labor costs as it spends more to raise wages and offer new services like online grocery delivery. So you have these Fight for 15 progressive activists, Fight for 15. They're trying to raise the cost of labor. And some of them have good intentions, right? I agree. Someone's making you think subpar. Although these are low-skilled positions. I'm not trying to sound like an elitist here, but I'm just, a lot of them are low-skilled positions. They're usually entry-level positions as well. It's teaching, especially young people, work ethic and discipline. But liberals always frame this. Oh, this is compassionate. We need to raise the minimum wage. Nobody can live off of $8 an hour. No one can feed their family off of four, right? Usually the family number increases in size. No one can feed them. Family of two, four, six kids on minimum wage. And I'm thinking, you think to yourself probably, who is on minimum wage with a family of four? It's for a very small number of people. It's not representative of the population. In any event, we hear this with minimum wage. It turns out that Walmart is deciding to sack employees and replace them with robots. That robots are going to monitor inventory, clean the floors, and unload trucks. And you know what? This may have happened down the line already. This may have been in the plans. But guess what? When all progressive politicians have put a price floor, that is, a price cannot go below a certain amount, and increases that price floor all the time on the cost of labor, it just sped up the, I guess, as we open this segment, the big picture. Our robots are going to one day they're checking the inventory. They're cleaning the floors. That would freak me, by the way, out. If I'm shopping at Walmart, and yes, I do go to Walmart. I go to Walmart. Good prices. A lot of options. And I see a robot cleaning the floors. I would take a second look. They're going to be checking us out, too. There's kiosks that are going to be popping up. So great job, liberals. You are so compassionate. You are pricing these people out of jobs entirely. Got more to talk about here. Not about robots, but other stuff. Oh, Jason Matera here filling in for Jason Rantz, and we are still telling you what's trending.
What's trending?
Okay.
Your health.
Your health. Yes. Well, this is bad for your health if this ever were to be adopted here in America. We hear Democrats pushing, they're espousing Medicare for all. Don't, by the way, just an aside, don't use the phrase Medicare for all. Call it what it is: government takeover of healthcare, socialized medicine, and rationing central. But if we want to look at how the Medicare for all will play out here in this country, we can look to those who have adopted something very similar. In this case, Britain. This is from our friends at the Daily Wire. Hundreds of elderly citizens go blind each year while waiting for eye surgeries. The latest report on the issue comes from the Times of London. The outlet reports that the latest survey from the Royal College of Ophthalmologists found rationing of cataract surgery continues even after guidance was issued suggesting patients not have the surgery delayed. The National Health Service has ignored instructions to end cataract treatment rationing in defiance of official guidance 2 years ago, said the report. Now, the National Health Service, this has been considered the gold standard of what health care should look like. And yet you have thousands of elderly people who are going blind because of rationing. See, and this is the economic illiteracy of, it's not just Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her ilk. I mean, we have Bernie Sanders, someone decades older, combs his hair with a balloon every day, espousing Medicare for all. When the government pays for, see, rationing is a fact of life. In economics, you deal with scarce resources. You deal with scarcity. And in a centrally planned system, that is what is in Britain with the National Health Service, the government does the rationing. There's a lump sum of money, and you don't exceed that lump sum of money. So people have to be moved to the back or the front or the middle of a list. Rationing ends up taking place. But when you don't have a centralized system, and the consumer can actually purchase health care according to their own, their individual needs for themselves and their family, they ration it based on price. Well, I may not need that expensive health care plan, but I'll go with this one. Well, you know what? I'm more I've been more sick prone than usual. I'm getting older, so I'm going to get more of a package that covers more items. On the, you basically you ration yourself. Rationing is a fact of life. It's just whose hands do you want it in? You as the individual, as your family, do you want to ration? And that's not a bad thing. I mean, we do it all the time. We ration what we spend for our car, what we spend on our home or apartment, what we spend on food. This is just an economic fact of life. And yet liberals think that they're literally these unicorns that are just pooping out Medicare for all cards, and there's no government cost to any of it. Except that there is. So take note. What happens over in Britain, basically what happens in any socialized country, or when it comes to certain sectors that are socialized, in this case, medical care, this is, and these are much smaller countries, by the way. Now, you make that for 300 million Americans? Please. This is in our future, folks, if we do not take it seriously and fight it. Okay. Now, Jason Rantz, when he's probably going blowing through these what's trendings, right? I'm like,
you know, this,
I have some tangents.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, you're working through them, which is great. You're going a little bit faster than the first time we did it, which is fine. Slow is good. Fast is good. The listeners love it. It's growing great.
All right. See, Tom, I thought Tom was a seasoned radio professional when I first met him. And now he made me feel old when he told me his age. Tom, are you even a millennial? Or are you like, what is it, Generation Z?
I'm the cutoff. 96 is the cutoff.
The cutoff.
So I am a millennial.
You know, I'm on the top of the millennial chart. Yeah. So I think it was 19. Was 19 born in 1982 is when it starts. I'm 83. So look at that. We have two bookends of the millennial.
We're basically the same age.
Except for the 13 years apart. We're the same age, except for the 13. But we both like burgers.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is. Not from Burger King burgers. Okay, before we get too afield, what's next?
What's trending? Wait, what?
Which one is it? Oh, is this Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, we're on Hillary.
We're on Hillary. Okay, wait, what? Hillary Clinton claims that Make America Great Again, the slogan, is a white nationalist slogan. A white nationalist slogan. She took to Twitter today, and she retweets a Huffington Post article. And you know how when you retweet something, there's the option to add a comment above it. So she does that. And she says the white nationalists certainly think MAGA, Make America Great Again, is a white nationalist slogan. And it's an article, how far-right extremists abroad have adopted Trump's symbol. Abroad. Now, I am sure that I didn't bother reading this article because we know we know it. You can cherry pick some nut overseas, but realistically, who overseas is wearing a Make America Great Again hat? Does that even make any sense? Well, you wear it you're in New Zealand or Australia wearing a Make America Great Again hat? You're in Germany or Italy or Spain wearing a Make America. It doesn't make any sense. And somehow this is a reflection. This is a reflection of Trump trumpeting white nationalism. You know what? What's so annoying is liberals have been engendering identitarian politics, right? Identity politics for years now. I think it should be condemned across the board completely. But you know what? When Trump is saying that he wants to look after America first and Americans first, it's not. This is just a, this. Is, when you call someone a racist, by the way, it is the refuge of a scoundrel. It's like you're all out of ideas. You don't want to debate the topic. And here, Hillary Clinton, I can't debate Trump on actual ideas. We can't debate worldviews. You can't even have a conversation with people because they revert to, oh, make America great again. Boom. You must be a white supremacist, by the way, which is why it has become acceptable that we're seeing this growing number of stories every day where someone with a MAGA hat on goes into a coffee shop, is in Starbucks, is just going about their life, is at a dog groomer, and they're accosted. They are verbally attacked by people because we have gaslighting going on from politicians like Hillary Clinton. Who are tagging other Americans as white nationalists just because they voted for Donald Trump and not her. You know what? Maybe Hillary Clinton, maybe they didn't vote for you because I can't even say the words I'm thinking. You are just a ghoulish cretin. Maybe they didn't want to vote for you because of that. You are mean-spirited. You are cold. And we don't know what disease you're suffering from. Fair enough, right? She could have fainted on the job. I just had to throw that out there. We didn't know. We have no. Still don't know. Still don't know what she's suffering from. But she falls a lot. Okay. Well, you know what? There was another one, but we'll get to that.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. My name is Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Ranch today. And the Big Local, this hour, well, I should say this segment, is brought to you by Dr. Sean Keller and Smiles by Design. And we are not just focusing. I know we can get wrapped up in Seattle, right? There are so many maddening stories if we just wanted to focus on Seattle for 3 hours. But I am not going to torture you. We don't want to torture you here at KTTH. Imagine hearing about Seattle madness for 3 hours. That could be a list of banned tortures by the UN. Yes, put a suspected terrorist in front of Jenny Durkin and let her prattle on about how to solve homelessness. Torture! All right, none of that. So first, and this is from Cairo, an ATM was blown up outside a Tacoma bank early Tuesday. So early this morning, an ATM was blown up. Neighbors near South 45th Street and Pacific Avenue heard an explosion about 3:30 a.m. and called 911. Imagine waking up to an explosion. Officers arrived to find a badly damaged ATM in the drive-thru lane of the Wells Fargo branch. Search dogs were brought in to look for suspects, but none were found. Due to the explosion, the FBI was brought in to assist with the investigation. Shortly after the incident, Lacey police tried to stop a vehicle, but the driver took off and headed south on I-5. Not good, right? You don't run from the cops. Don't run from the police. The pursuit reached speeds of 100 miles per hour, Thurston County Sheriff said. The suspect exited at 93rd Avenue Southwest in Tumwater, and then Tumwater police joined the pursuit. So eventually the guy got out of his car. Second mistake. You know, I mean, you've seen an episode of these police chases. You've seen an episode of Cops. You know what happens. First is the police chase. Then the suspect eventually gets out. And then law enforcement release the hounds. That's right. The canine unit is deployed. And the canine, no shock here, outruns the suspect. And the canine was able to stop the man by biting him. Suspect was eventually taken to Providence St. Peter Hospital in Olympia. Quite the car chase. It doesn't say, but it is interesting. Did this guy think, if this is the same man, we don't know if this is the same individual who is running away from the cops, or this is a guy who just happened to be doing something else illegally running away from the cops. But whoever is blowing up an ATM, do they think that's how they're going to get cash? Like, was this their way to knock off an ATM, to rob the ATM, is to blow it up? Because it seems, I've never robbed an ATM, I've never looked into robbing an ATM. But it seems stupid. If you bomb an ATM to blow it up, maybe you've looked into robbing ATMs. I haven't, but maybe you've got. If you've bombed an ATM, don't you think that would incinerate the money, the cash that's on the inside?
Well, I mean, I know that would probably happen. Okay. But why don't you explain to, you know, the audience, why that would happen?
Oh, I mean, why fire why and paper? You just
because it might inferno. Seem some, it might seem some of the listeners like that would work.
I know our listeners are way too smart.
Right. Well, why don't you explain why that wouldn't work exactly?
Why bombing the ATM by putting a bomb in it wouldn't work and getting the money?
Right. Wouldn't the money come out? Is probably what some of the listeners would. Why wouldn't that?
Well, no, because you're burning the thing. You're burning it down. Money is paper. You light a paper, a dollar on bill, it's going up.
Oh.
And yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, good. I'm glad you explained
it. We explained it. Yeah, just to set the record straight. Just in case there's someone out there who decided, whoa, what a great idea. I'm going to go bomb an ATM. Get some cash money.
Got to cancel my plan tonight now.
I know. I've got to keep an eye on you, Tom. Jason has to keep an eye on you. Look at this. All right, Western Washington faces elevated wildfire risk in 2019. This is from KentReporter.com. The National Interagency Fire Center released its April through July fire predictions for the country, and the report shows that Western Washington will be more prone to fires than usual over the coming months. I can just hear Jay Inslee in my climate change. Got to do something. No, maybe not climate change. While Western Washington, including the Puget Sound, will have a higher risk of fires, much of the risk in Eastern Washington remains average. This is expected to change in the northern areas of the state. The report goes on. Here's what's interesting That's a long report. But the fascinating issue, because we hear, anytime there's a forest fire, anytime there's a tornado, anytime there's a hurricane, anytime there's excessive rain, anytime there's excessive snow, anytime there's excessive heat, you can't win. The fascism of the argument is amazing. Whatever weather pattern there is, evidence of. Well, they don't say global warming anymore because it's not warming. They change it. Climate change. Evidence of climate. Yeah, knucklehead, the climate changes. So, according to the National Interagency Fire Center, in Washington State last year, there were 1,744 fires. 1,744 fires, okay? That affected nearly 439,000 acres. Of those fires, so of the... Bear with me now. Of the 1,700 fires, 1,400 of them were human-caused. Were human-caused. So the vast majority of... I don't know, people smoking in the forest or lighting matches, but... Well, they're cooking their food in a tent. Whatever it is the vast majority of them. Out of the 1,700, 1,400 were human-caused. Accounting for nearly 280,000 acres that burned. So, moral of the story, just like it is very stupid, don't be stupid and try to blow up an ATM. Don't be stupid and set a forest on fire. I think we covered the stupidity part.
Rules to live by.
That's rules to live by. I should write that. I should write it. Add it to the next. Rules to live by. Rule number one, you're not going to get any money from an ATM by setting it on fire.
Right.
Rule number two, don't be stupid and light a forest on fire. No good can come of it.
Got it covered.
Yeah, I got it covered. Okay. Next is the amount of money would be paying at the pump. The price is increasing because of an unexpected refinery outages at refineries in San Francisco and Los Angeles. And because that is happening, it's expected to raise the average price in Washington State at the pump another 10 cents in the coming week. Right now, the price of a gallon of gas in Olympia was $3.33, according to AAA Washington. It's 11 cents higher than a week ago and up 37 cents in the past month. That price is expected to increase even more because of this shortage. And yet, by the way, you know, we have one of the highest gas taxes here in Washington State. Nothing really to show for it. I don't see the evidence that the astronomical gas tax we pay comports with better roads and highways and bridges and transportation infrastructure. Of course, Democrats in the legislature want to raise it even higher. Well, if there is a supply and demand issue because there's a refinery having some type of outage, perhaps, I don't know, the legislature, I don't know, perhaps this is a politician, people who represent us, perhaps this is, I don't know, this is crazy thinking here, but they can, you know, lower our gas tax, lower the state side of the gas tax. I'm just saying, could be, I know, crazy thinking on mine, crazy thinking. Upcoming, we have bills, speaking of crazy in the Washington legislature, bills for plastic bag bans across the state and capital gains taxes are still surviving in Olympia. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. My name is Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz this afternoon. You want to get on the program, the number at the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline is 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. Jim in Tacoma writes, the left will fix climate change and wildfires just like they've solved so many other problems. Homelessness, poverty, drug use, crime. I sense some sarcasm there, Jim. I know. Of course, we're going to fix homelessness by subsidizing it to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars and increase it. Yes, we have a homeless story, by the way. There's a big beef between the city and one of the organizations slated to run one of these homeless shelters. In fact, there's a whistleblower coming forward who says that the residents of the tiny villages are being used as political pawns. Not surprising, but we'll try to get to that. Let's see. We have a texter from the 425. Hillary Clinton is a bore. It's charitable. It's putting it as succinctly as you can. Another 425 texter says, of course wage people out of the jobs and give them, there's a missing something there, right?
It's a comma, I think. Of course.
Okay. Wage people out of jobs and give them no recourse but the entitlement plantation. Yes, that's right. We're going to be so compassionate. $15 an hour, minimum wage. I have, by the way, did you ever print that out for me? The genesis of the $15 an hour minimum wage? It's all right. We're going to get to that. The Wall Street Journal had a little tidbit. It was in one of their editorials today, and it was on the origin of the, like, how did Democrats land on $15? We're going to try to find it because it is astounding. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but how they came to this decision was not scientific. Say the least. Okay, from MyNorthwest.com. By the way, if you have anything interesting to say, you can text in and I will try to get to it. MyNorthwest.com. It's a busy couple of days in Olympia with dozens of bills getting hearings or votes before a final committee cutoff on Tuesday. So they are up against the deadline. They are going to be promoting legislation that affects your life. And what? What is being promoted? What is being rushed through committee? Oh, a bill that would place a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags and would require every retailer in the state to hand out paper bags at 8 cents each. Now, I think currently it's 5 cents, at least for Seattle. It's 5 cents. Anytime you go shopping, I hate these paper bags, by the way. They are terrible. When I'm shopping at Trader Joe's, the employees know how to pack that thing in. They know how to pack as much. And then the bag, especially if it's raining, the likelihood that it rips is very high. I mean, plastic is what you want in this situation. Well, we have to have a paper bag. So that one's going to be at 8 cents, 8 cents each. Now, this adds up. The state is just bilking us out of money, reducing our consumer freedom and options. Interestingly, you know, tote bags, you don't have to pay any. I mean, you have to buy them initially, but then you use them for shop. A lot of people do. They don't want to pay the 5 cents. My wife is like that. She hates paying the 5 cents. I just out of principle. I always forget to bring the tote bag with me. I just need to leave it in my car. And then when I do have it in my car, I bring it out with the groceries and I forgot to put it back in my car. So I end up paying the 5 cents or more than that because there are multiple bags. But she had a principle. Well, and I understand it because it's absurd. They're just shaking us down. It's 5 cents, but on principle. For what? Nothing. It will do diddly doodle for the environment. Supporters say it's better for the environment. Better for the environment. The United States. And because some turtle washes up with plastic. Oh my gosh, everyone freaks out. And somehow we need a statewide ban on plastic bags, single-use plastic bags. We need a ban on plastic straws, the scourge of plastic straws. Listen, I am all for levying excessive fines for anyone caught dumping plastic in a waterway. Do that. But to say that this is going to have any meaningful effect when most of the plastic dumping on our shores is coming from Mexico and ain't the United States. Very similar to, if you think about it, to this the climate change, the restrictions that progressives want to put on us with climate change legislation. It does nothing for the environment. Why? Because you have China and you have India who are pumping globs and globs of carbon dioxide and pollution in the air. It doesn't matter what we do, We can all be riding a Prius and getting all our power from windmills and solar panels. We can be managing the windmill ourselves. It can be our 9-to-5 job. We're just spinning this thing, getting our energy, and it will do diddly squat for the environment. Diddly squat. Because you have China and you have India, sir. Nuance is part of the discussion that progressives hate to have or actually engage in. But, you know, ban the plastic bag. Sure. And then there's the proposal. The real controversial one is the capital gains tax. Now, it's called controversial here. It should just be called illegal. It should be called illegal. It is unconstitutional to have a capital gains tax. It will eventually be struck down. It is a waste. And yet the House is moving forward with it. And the Senate is moving forward with it. The House, their capital gains tax is to pay for things like mental health and education. How much more money are we going to give towards education? I think in Seattle, it's $18,000 per student. I think it's statewide, it's $14,000 per student. That's a lot of dough going towards education. Or the old-fashioned approach is you pay for your own child's education. I know. You can't say these things. You can't say, why am I responsible for your kid's education? You can't say these things today. But why am I responsible for your kid's education? Why do I need to be shaken down and fleeced? The Senate wants the capital gains tax, which is the illegal tax. Well, you can't. It's unconstitutional against the Constitution to have an income tax in the state of Washington. As we've discussed here on KTTH, you know, Jason Rantz and others, progressives are saying, well, it's not an income tax, it's a capital gains tax, even though the IRS in every state says a capital gains tax is a tax on income. And then they play the Marxist class warfare. Well, this is going to only hit 200 people making $250,000. Capital gains of 8.9%. People making $250,000 and above. And we're going to use that money to cut taxes for lower income folks with working families tax credit. Oh, great. Great. So you're going to tax successful people more who know what to do with that money. And you're going to redistribute it, that money, to people who haven't earned it. Oh, great. Yeah, let's more of this. No, how about not more of this? But this is what you happen. This is what happens when we vote for progressives. We get what we vote for. More taxes, more spending, and we have a Governor Jay Inslee set to participate in a CNN town hall. God help us, that and more, with me, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz.